Good morning. Good to be with you, beloved. And what a wonderful time we had this morning. I felt like staying in my seat and just continuing to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus, to speak of his excellencies, of his majesty, of his glory, of his holiness, numbered with the transgressors, but always sin apart. Tempted in all points like as we are, sin apart, absolutely holy, absolutely perfect, absolutely God incarnate. What a wonderful Savior. In the words of the hymn that we sang, hallelujah. What a Savior. Sometimes we read about Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration and we want to give him a hard time. I would have felt the same way. Lord, we don't want to leave. We don't want to leave. I mean, he didn't get the whole picture, but from a human standpoint, we understand why he wanted to stay. Are we going to talk about growing up today, beloved? We want to talk about growing up, maturity. Not a long time ago, not many years ago, we had a commercial on television. I don't want to grow up. I want to be a Toys R Us kid. Anybody remember that? Am I the only one? I don't want to grow up. I want to be a Toys R Us kid. We don't have that luxury. It's nice to be a kid. It's nice to be a child. But we have to grow up. We have to mature. We have to go on to perfection. I read a bumper sticker. Sometime back says, I am not perfect, I am only forgiven. But we must strive for perfection. God's people are called upon to be perfect. Not sinless. That's not what it means. It means to mature. It means to be complete. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that love story. But we're not going to read the love story, really. We're going to read what it brings to us. Verse 9 says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. For now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. We will never be filled with all knowledge. There will never be a time when we would be all knowing, because only God is omniscient. But that doesn't mean that we should not strive, we should not pursue knowledge. It does not mean that we should be limited or limit ourselves to the status of childhood. The people of God, we are called upon to mature, to grow up. As it is in the physical, we have concerns, and rightly so, if we're not seeing maturity, if we're not seeing growth in the children. We expect them to grow and to go through those different stages, and we look for progress. We don't expect the newborn to walk immediately. But as we look at him and or her in months after birth, getting towards maybe a year or so, we expect them to get off of the ground. We expect them to walk. To walk. And after walking, we expect them to run. First to stand up, then to take steps, then they walk, and then a few years down the road, we look at them running. That's the natural progression. Natural, I'm having problems. As it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. We expect, as we say often, we expect people to act their age. And we rebuke them when we see them indulging in childish things. And we would say something like this: "You are so childish. You mean you're still carrying that with you? That's so childish. You get offended by that? That is so immature. That is so childish." But we're dealing with spiritual things this morning, beloved. You know, the Lord Jesus, he told physical stories. He told stories about physical things to emphasize the spiritual. And Paul is saying here, we don't have all knowledge. We just have part knowledge. We don't have the completed canon of scriptures. And so we are prophesying in part. And when this is complete, when we have all the scriptures before us, then that which is in part shall be done away. Like the sign gifts. And whatever your conviction is on that, I'm not going to question it. But I'm telling you what I believe is that those sign gifts were used for confirmation of the gospel that was presented. It is not for all times. That doesn't mean that God cannot work miracles. That doesn't mean that God cannot use someone. But what it means is that we have a complete canon. We have a complete Bible. And all that God wants us to know is recorded in his word. We need to go on to perfection. Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. You think of your own family and think of the progress that you have seen physically. then make that application spiritually. Are we where we were a year ago? In our comprehension of spiritual things? Are we still asking the elementary questions? Are we still indulging in baby talk? I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, we're using man generically here. When I become a grown up, I put away childish things. If I see a 40-year-old playing with a baby doll, I may take a second look. If I see a grown man and all he's having is milk, 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 then I question, how can you survive throughout your life, 40 years, and you have not matured enough to eat solid food? Again, if we look at the natural, it would explain what we're getting at in the spiritual. When we read the Word of God, Christians, believers, are called upon to grow up, to mature. Various words are used: to go on, to perfection, to be established in the faith. There is an area where we would do well to remain children. And Paul recognized that. Just go over to chapter 14. And if that could be true, that's great. Only one area. In 14 and 20 it says, "Brethren, be not children in understanding. However, in malice, be children, but in understanding, be men." In malice, be children. You see the children playing in the field. You see them playing in the yard, and they have a little scrap. Will they be back tomorrow? Yes, they will be back tomorrow, because in malice, they're children. They're not carrying on a grudge. And that's the way God's people are going to progress. We have to be like children in malice. They forgot about the little scrap yesterday. They forgot about the misunderstanding, even about the little fight. They forgot about it, and they are playing again. That's what God wants us to do in malice, to be children. But in understanding, be grown-ups, be mature, be perfect, be complete. I see the church, and so much of the church are still there in childhood, even though they've been saved for many years. Christians not growing, not maturing, not striving towards perfection. Because we have not heeded 1 Corinthians 14 and 20. To be children in malice, but in understanding, to be men, to be grown-ups. And so Paul reemphasizes this point in Ephesians chapter 4, 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and malice be put away from you. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We need spiritual growth. And what makes the children grow so healthy? What makes them grow as we see them blossom before our eyes? We see them grow from one stage to another, and we stand back and we look at them and we admire them and we just enjoy it as we see them mature before our eyes. Nutrition. The right food. The proper exercise. The exercise of their minds as they get an education. We see them grow up and they're able to think. And later on, they're able to think methodically. But everything must be in place, and we can't do it without the proper nutrition, whether it's the physical or the mental. And we're not going to get anywhere spiritually if we neglect the nutrition. Granted, we must start out with the milk, but we can't live on that. Peter says in his epistle, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that he might grow thereby. He never spoke of milk for the mature Christian. Milk has its place, and we need that milk. And we labor that we might see more newborn babes every day. Would to God that we had newborn babes every day. But 10 years down the road, we don't expect them to be still drinking milk in the morning, at noon, and at night. We need to see them maturing. We need to see them being perfected. We need to see them growing up. As Paul states in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's just read that. This is what he writes in Ephesians chapter 4. By the Spirit of God, verse 11. This is the model. This is God's plan for His people, for the church of Jesus Christ, for the body of Christ. This is his plan. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. That's the word again, perfect, maturity. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. To edify means to build up. Till we all, you and I, the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto a mature, a complete man. unto the measure of the fullness of Christ, the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth, from this day forward, that we henceforth be no more children. Children are beautiful, children are wonderful. I think that's the most precious thing that we have in our lives, children. But we expect them not to remain children. There would be a problem. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. You know, children are vulnerable. And especially from people that respect parents, teachers. They believe what they hear. They believe what we teach them. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And I see people saved 30 years and they still don't know the truth. They still don't understand certain aspects of the Christian faith. They're still going back and forth. Well, I'm leaving here because they're teaching something else over there, and I really believe that. And before you know it, they're back or they're gone someplace else, being tossed to and fro like a tree blowing in the wind, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up. That's the goal, beloved. That's the purpose of the ministry. That's the purpose for the gifts that God has given to the church, that you and I would grow up, we would mature. It is time for us to get out of babyhood and stop all this baby talk and grow up. May grow up into him in all things, who is the head, even Christ. And so on. The end of verse 16 says, in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Edifying, again, it means to build up, to build up. And whenever we are involved in the ministry, whenever we are proclaiming the truth to the church, we expect the message to make a difference. We expect the people of God to be encouraged and to grow up, to really have something that they can lay hold on and take with them. Beloved, the ministry is not to break down. You know, anybody can break down. It's not to break down. It's to build up, to edify the saints, edify one another, edify us in love, to instruct us in the way that we must go. That's the purpose of the ministry, and that's the purpose for which God has given to the church these gifts, or these gifted people. The ministry has a threefold effect: edify, or to build up, to stir up, and to bound up. That we might be mature. That we would leave the childhood stage. And that you and I, beloved, would go on to perfection. Peter said, yes, we As newborn babes, we desire the pure milk of the word. But in the last verse of his epistle, he left us with these words: grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. We need to grow up. In 2 Peter chapter 1, it tells us about adding these things. I have to read that because I won't get them right. I can quote them, but they probably won't be in order. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 5 says, got paper flying everywhere. Verse 5 says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. You're going to grow. You're going to be mature. You're going to understand what the will of the Lord is. And if they be in you, you'll be able to produce. You'll be able to produce. Baby plants don't produce. They must grow up and they must mature. And after the trees mature, then they produce fruit. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Therein lies our problem. We don't seem to be able to put away childish things. Something wrong with the diet, beloved. We're not giving attendance to reading, as the apostle says. We're not studying to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are still struggling with the elementary things of the faith. We have not gone on to perfection. We are not rooted and grounded in love. We really don't know the truths of the faith. You know, beloved, I find so many people looking for new things, looking for additional truth. We're looking for additional truth, and we're not studying what we have. Like the Epicureans and the Stoics spent all their time wanting to hear something new. Well, God has nothing more to say. All that he has to say to us, he has said in his word. And Jude tells us we have the faith, the embodiment of the truth, all the truth. It has been once and for all delivered to the saints. We have it all. We can use it, we can study it, and we can grow by it. time go? I just introduced the subject and time is gone. Ephesians 3:17 says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's the goal, beloved. That's the goal. And you and I should be shooting for that. You and I should be pressing for that. You and I should be endeavoring to achieve that goal, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Because we are rooted and we are grounded. And after 10, 20 years, we don't have to be asking the elementary questions. They're settled in our mind. Thus saith the Lord. We have compared spiritual things with spiritual. And don't let some hotshot preacher, because you have the gift of gab, turn us away through their slick speaking, the slight of men, carried away with every wind of doctrine. Colossians 2 and 7 says, we are rooted and built up in him. Here's a sad portion. I'm sure you agree with me, it is very sad. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we can't leave without reading that, because I think this is such a sad commentary on a church that boasted it had everything. Paul is indicting the church at Corinth. He says, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. You have not shown any progress. You have not grown up. I still can't teach you the deep things of Christ. So what he has to do, I have fed you with milk. It was okay for Peter to say, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow by it. That was okay, but it's not okay here. He says, I have fed you with milk and not with solid food. For to this time, after all this time, you are not able to bear it. Not even now are you able. There's a problem. Yes, there's a problem. For ye are yet carnal. You're yet carnal. You know, Paul uses, we don't have the word to explain all this. We don't have the time. But Paul uses three words to explain, teach us who we are. You know, he spoke of natural, carnal, and spiritual. The natural man is the unsaved, unregenerate man. The carnal here is the saved man, but walking after the flesh. And the spiritual man is the one who walks in the spirit. That's the difference. He says, you're carnal. That's why. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are you not carnal and walk as men? When you see people trying to get a following in the assembly to draw men after them, see, people can't get their own way, so they walk out and they take a number of believers with them. They cause divisions. They think they're a big man. They're carnal. They're babes in Christ. Only babies would do that. Anybody can break up a meeting, be discontent, because they're babies. They're carnal. They're not spiritual. They're not mature. Oh, I'm following Paul. Me, I'm following Apollos. No, I'm following Peter. And on we go. When we should only be following one person, that is Jesus Christ. Because Paul says, I didn't die for you. I didn't die for you. Neither did Peter. We should be following Christ. And because we are involved in all these human activities, all following after a man and not Christ, we are still on baby food. We are still drinking milk. And we look at that steak and it looks good to our eyes, but we don't have any teeth, any spiritual teeth. We can't eat it. We have not grown spiritually. Oh, I have to tell you what the solution is. In Acts 20, Paul, he spoke to the Ephesian elders in that sad portion when he was leaving them. And he told them their charge and responsibility to take care of the flock over which the Lord has made them overseers. How are they going to do that? First of all, they had to guard against false teachers. He described them as wolves. Verse 29, I know this, verse 29, that after my departing shall grievous wolves come in among you, not sparing the flock. False teachers coming to make a name for themselves, coming to disrupt the fellowship, coming to teach error. You have to be careful with them. Verse 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. That's the solution. The word of God that is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. That's the solution, beloved. If the word of God is not part and parcel of your daily diet, then you will suffer from malnutrition spiritually. 20 years down the road, you'll still be asking elementary questions. You'll still be wondering, what's happening? Where am I going? Is Jesus really coming back? Well, here's a doozy, because I hear this all the time. Well, you know, I'm saved, but I don't see baptism. You don't see it? It's right there. The eunuch saw it in a few minutes. Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Soon as he got saved, 10 years down the road, I don't see baptism. That's just an example. I gotta stop. Wish I had the time. It's two messages. But I'm gonna read something. I'll leave it with you. Hebrews chapter 5. I'm gonna leave this with you, beloved. But I want you to know I'm only halfway through. But that's enough. I think we made the point. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. If I say it, it's going to go right over your head. That's what he said. Right over your head. You don't get it. I can't say it. I can't break it down low enough. For when, for the time, you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need. Here is our word again. Have need of milk. Milk and not solid food. You can't take it. You can't handle solid food. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word. You're still a babe. The word of righteousness, for he is a babe. For solid food, solid food, beloved, when we start talking about the coming of Christ and the revelation of Jesus Christ, as opposed to the rapture and things like that. We start talking about the millennial kingdom, and we start talking about the gospel. When I preached a word some time ago, a brother came up to me and says, "You know, I don't agree with you of the imminent return of Christ, because the Bible says every nation shall hear the word and then shall the end come." But he didn't understand the difference between the gospel of Christ, of the grace of God, and the gospel of the kingdom. He mixed it up. So I explained that. "Everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Solid food belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving, maturing, growing up, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism." See, I don't want to see baptism. "And of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of the eternal judgment." We don't have time to go into all that, but that's it. God wants us to grow, to mature, because he's looking for good men. He's looking for men. That is, men and women, mature Christians, to go into his work. Beloved, quit yourselves like men. And be strong. Father, we thank thee for this day. We thank thee for our Lord Jesus Christ, who has called us by his grace to reveal himself in us, to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, to rightly divide the word of truth, to teach the doctrines of the New Testament. We ask thy blessing upon thy people here, and thy blessing upon thy people everywhere, that the word of God would be our main diet, it would be a feast upon it, that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Part us now with thy blessing resting upon us, and direct our thoughts, and may we go in for spiritual maturity. We pray and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.